You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today I have Michael Lapps on the line, and he's co-founder and strategy director at Yogurt Digital. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Adam. It's great to be here. Appreciate it.
All right, Michael. So lots of business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives that watch this show, and oh, everybody's always looking for marketing strategy, specifically also digital marketing strategy. How do they make informed decisions, and what strategy is the best to use? We're going to examine a lot of these questions and more. But before we get started with that, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all, with our Mission Matters Minute. So, Michael, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Michael, what mission matters to you?
I think the most important mission for me is growth. That's what I'm passionate about. It's what I'm most interested in. And that doesn't just necessarily mean business growth. It can be personal growth. It can be the growth of those around you. I love the process of development. I love the process of learning and application. And I love seeing the growth of things around me that, you know, I've had a hand in. And, you know, running a digital marketing agency, you kind of get to see it from all fronts because you've got a team that you're growing and developing. You've got clients that you're growing and developing. And then, you know, you're kind of growing and developing yourself as a leader and as a business owner yourself. Yeah. And that's really what gets me out of bed every morning is kind of, you know, seeing that progress being made and feeling like you're making a difference, whether that be to one person or whether it's to an entire organization. That really excites me. It gives meaning to my life to feel like I'm helping others.
It's awesome. And I get that from you. And one of the reasons excited to have you on the show, it's like, in my opinion, the people that do great in the digital space and that really their work just sticks out. It's somebody that is exactly doing what you're doing. Like they get that joy. They get that inner feeling of when their client is succeeding. It's like when you look around in your business and you're like, you know, where'd all these people come from? You know, it may have started with yourself or a couple people, and then you get more and more people, more and more clients, and it starts to grow. And then same thing happens with your clients. And you're like, what? Wow. Like they're growing. Like we generated X amount of leads and they're doing this kind of revenue. And now, you know, I remember when we just started with them and they couldn't even dream of that part. And as the years pass on, like to really share in each other's success and to create that really community, I just think it's an amazing thing.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, we feel very privileged that we get to work with all these types of businesses because we understand that when they sign with us, they're actually really entrusting us with their livelihood, with the success of their business, with the livelihood of their staff members as well. Right? They're trusting us with a lot. It's not just, hey, can you manage my marketing? It's you're actually responsible for the growth of my business and everything that comes with that. So there's a lot of pressure on that, but there's also a huge amount of opportunity. So when you start from that place of understanding and you respect the decision that they made and the weight of that decision, yeah. I think it allows you to actually start doing and producing really good work if you have that care factor.
Yeah. So I want to take a step back for a moment. We'll go further into Yogurt Digital and also, you know, some of the strategies that may make sense for people to implement. But I mean, before we get into that, like where did this entrepreneurship or even digital marketing thing start for you? Like, when did you start on that path?
I actually never saw myself as being an entrepreneur growing up. But my dad was very entrepreneurial and he ran a lot of businesses. And so I kind of always saw that happen. And I was working at another digital marketing agency and I met a few people and, you know, there was an opportunity there to try and start our own. And having worked in a lot of different digital agencies, I just felt like there was definitely an opportunity in the market for what it is that we wanted to build. Yeah. Even though it was a crowded market, I felt like we had a strong enough angle to come in with to be successful. And it honestly, it kind of came out of left field. It wasn't like something I'd been planning for a decade and then, you know, like meticulously working on every night. Yeah. It just kind of popped up. And I don't know, I firmly believe in taking the opportunities that are in front of you when they're there. And I just decided to jump on it because what's the worst thing that can happen, right? You fail, you move on, you're still employable. I would have like, I backed myself to kind of make it happen, make it succeed. And yeah, here we are 8 years later.
Wow. What an amazing story. And so I want you to talk maybe to the would-be entrepreneurs or just the people that are out there that have an idea. So there's a difference maybe between yourself and maybe where some others are that are just getting started. And that is that you saw the opportunity, you took it, or you took the chance. Like what does it take, do you believe, to kind of transition from that day to day, you know, maybe the security of a paycheck to moving on into that world of being an entrepreneur? Like what kind of things do you think it takes?
A love of failure, the ability to see a silver lining in the tougher situations.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say that you have to be an optimist. I think somewhere between an optimist and a realist, you have to have both qualities. And the reason that I say a love of failure is like, there are just so many days in business that are hard. And that's not, you know, you make one decision that was just like off the cuff and it seemed small and inexplicable at the time, but, you know, can go into something bigger, a global pandemic hits or, you know, a client, you know, your biggest client unexpectedly decides not to renew their contract when it seemed like it would be the opposite. Or, you know, you were pitching for investment and, you know, it falls through at the very last second. You know, I've heard all these crazy stories from other entrepreneurs as well. And the kind of the baseline that everyone works from is if you're not comfortable with failure, then you're going to really struggle in the business world because, there are so many days that are losses, but all those string of losses are lessons. And all of those lessons combined give you massive wins. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean by you also have to be able to find the silver lining, because every time something doesn't go exactly the way you had it planned, there's an opportunity and a learning for you in there. And your ability to extract that and reapply it is what's going to make you a successful business person. Mm-hmm. And you look at like Jeff Bezos at Amazon, who was in the hole like $500 million or whatever it was before the next year was like up $1 billion, right? Most people would have quit when they were down $10 million, let alone hundreds of millions of dollars. But you have to have a really strong belief in what you're doing. And you have to like, you have to be able to steel yourself against all of those losses. And to your point, like, you know, believe in your mission and like execute that day in, day out. You know, I think that anyone who wants to start their own business, like I salute you because, you know, you're making an awesome decision. There is nothing that will teach you more about life or more about yourself than running your own business. And nothing will give you greater opportunity than doing that. Even just in terms of the people that you meet is like your worst possible outcome. You will meet the most incredible people. Yeah. So I strongly suggest doing that, but you just have to be comfortable with things going wrong.
Mm-hmm. And only part I'll add to that is, and if your pain tolerance isn't high, it needs to increase because maybe have some thick painful skin moments, right?
Yeah, 100% thick skin for sure.
All right. So switching focus slightly here, let's go further into today's topic. So making, using data to make informed marketing decisions. So as analytics, whether it's digital or otherwise, depending on the type of our advertising or marketing that people are doing, as analytics get better and better and being able to trace the results of different methods, I feel like that whole landscape, you mentioned that you've been in business now going on or a little over 8 years now. I mean, compared to from where you started to where we're at now, I mean, it's just a whole nother ballgame.
Yeah, 100%. 8 years is a long time and also not long at all. You know, when you hear about companies being around for 50, 100 years, you know, you really think about what it takes to do that. It's really incredible. And 8 years has been a long time. And yeah, where we were when we started the business, like, you know, working out of my bed in my bedroom for the first like 2 months, just trying to land a client, you know, trying to convince people to be the first one to take a punt on us. You know, to where we are now, where, you know, we've worked with kind of like an A-list of Australian clients and have a team of 30 working for us. It's been an incredible journey to get here, and something we're very proud of.
What excites you right now about the ability to access data for your clients? Like, what excites you about that?
I think it's the opportunity. Mm. When we started Yogurt, the reason we started it in the first place is we felt that a lot of agencies were very cookie cutter in their approach to digital marketing. Mm-hmm. So it was very much like, oh, I did this for this client, so I'll do it for the other client, even though they're in completely separate industries. It was just like a bit of a one size fits all. Yeah. And we really felt like there wasn't enough time and attention being put into who is the end consumer? What are their pain points, their motivations? Who are they? You know, what are their, like, not so much hopes and dreams, but, you know, why are they starting the process for looking for this product in the first place? Mm-hmm. Then also understanding the business, the people who work within it, their goals, maybe any red tape and challenges that they face internally. And then you kind of have to mash that all together. And so what the data offers us is a really unique insight into who the customer is. Mm-hmm. And when you think about, not even like 5 years ago, but more like maybe 10, 20 years ago, yeah, data was very difficult to come by. You know, understanding who the customer was very challenging. You had to do pretty much just like in-person focus groups. And that was really one of the main research methods that people had. Now you can track absolutely everything about a person without them knowing, with them knowing. You can do in-person interviews still as well. But there's just so much wealth in terms of the data landscape that you can make incredibly informed decisions. Mm-hmm. And every marketing dollar can be tracked, accounted for, and you can put an ROI against it. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, the accountability for marketers is at an all-time high because you know exactly where you're spending your money and you make that decision based on who your customer is and how they're behaving in the digital space. That's really exciting. It's no longer guesswork kind of pie in the sky, finger in the air thinking. It's a science now. And I think that's really exciting for marketers everywhere.
So I know one of the things that that Yogurt focuses on is conversion optimization. So as a conversion optimization agency, what are some of the thought process that goes into that?
Yeah, so conversion optimization is really the process of crafting a consumer journey that converts. And when we say converts, we mean you're getting whoever your consumer is, you're getting them to take whatever action on the website it is that you want. So that might be an inquiry, it might be the sale of a product, it might be a newsletter subscription or downloading a white paper or an ebook or whatever business outcome matters to you. And so when we're running conversion optimization projects, the reason that we kind of focused in that area is so many companies, particularly even more so since COVID, have been so focused on how to attract more customers to their website, but then they forget about the actual website experience. Mm-hmm. And they forget that once the customer lands on the website, you actually still have to provide an exceptional experience to get them to do business with you. And so a lot of what we focus on is understanding what happens in the customer journey when they land on that website. What are the friction points that they face? You know, is it a smooth journey? How can it be improved? Is your content okay? Is your site architecture an issue? Is it easy to navigate? Can they find what they're looking for? So we actually really assess how a customer behaves on your website. Mm-hmm. And then we optimize that experience by changing up your website design to try and get more people to do business with you.
Yeah. And maybe, and you don't have to obviously give up a specific customer or anything like that, but can you give us an example of maybe what the thought process looks like? So for that customer journey specifically, by the way, just to put some context around it for our audience who maybe have never worked with an agency like yours and maybe don't understand that part of the journey, because I feel like, and this is where I started before getting into marketing on my end, it was like, okay, great. We do advertising. They come in, they talk to a salesperson, and you know, if it converts, we made money. If we're spending less on the advertising then, and we have enough margin there, then great, everything's working. But it wasn't until I started getting into the weeds on digital marketing that I really understood that, you know, there's a lot of great funnels, there's a lot of great companies, a lot of great businesses out there that are leaving a lot of money on the table by doing some of the nuts and bolts of the things that you're talking about. And it doesn't even necessarily mean like adding more ad spend. It means even sometimes just making better use of the assets you already have and those main assets like the website and things like that. So I don't want to, again, assume that everybody's gone through a process of conversion optimization. So maybe give us a little bit of context or insight into your process on user journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll just quickly add on to something that you said then, because I think it's very pertinent, which is, let's say you have 10,000 people come into your website a month. Mm-hmm. And let's say your conversion rate is 1%. So mm-hmm. you get 100 people inquiring with you. There's two ways to double the growth of your business. You can increase your website traffic from 10,000 people to 20,000 people. Mm-hmm. And you might spend more on Google ads or Facebook advertising or now Meta advertising. Or you might spend money on SEO or any other matter of marketing. Or alternatively, you can double your conversion rate from 1% to 2%. It is much easier to double your conversion rate than it is to double your traffic, mm-hmm. purely because of how much it costs to double your traffic. You're mm-hmm. basically just pouring more and more money in, but that's almost like pouring more and more water into a bucket that has holes in the bottom. Yeah. You're actually not running as efficiently as you could be. There's wastage happening. There's a lack of efficiency there. And if you're going to be pouring more and more marketing dollars in, you want to know that you're actually maximizing your return on investment. So to kind of come back to your original question of what does this kind of process look like? I'll give you an example of a client of ours that redesigned their website. And they didn't do any research. They kind of rebranded, and off the back of that, they didn't really like do any customer behavior analysis or anything like that. They just went, we're just going to design something else that looks really nice that we really like.
Yeah.
And so they designed this new website and they pushed it live, and it's an e-commerce brand. They're global, and they pushed it live really excitedly. And what happened is they found that almost overnight their conversion rate dropped by 25%.
Oh, wow.
And so off the back of that, their revenue also dropped 25%. Now, when you're a global brand, that's a huge number. Yeah. And they immediately, their knee-jerk reaction was, something's wrong with the website. We actually just need to redesign it again. So let's like go out to another agency. Let's mm-hmm. go and spend a couple $100,000 working this out. And when we were chatting to them, we were like, actually, it's entirely possible that if you're really firm on the fact that this new site is much better than the old one, mm-hmm. why don't we actually, before you go and spend another bomb on redesigning your whole site, why don't we actually just do a bit of research and understand how people are behaving on your site to see where that issue might be coming from? Mm-hmm. Because it might be the whole site. Maybe we can isolate something. So we did about 6 to 8 weeks of research. And what came out of it is that most consumers actually really loved the new website, mm-hmm. but they hated the new product page. And the reason was that the old product page had a list of all the ingredients that went into their products and mm-hmm. why those ingredients were really good for them. They had videos on how to use the product. And also they had not just how to use the product, but also like complementary products that you can use as a part of like the entire routine. And they had a huge amount of content as well, just really engaging content. But what happened was that old product page made the page really long and really detailed. And they decided that maybe it would be better to simplify that product page. So they removed a lot of that stuff, thinking that like, who really cares about that anyway? People already know a lot of our products and they just want to buy it. So we'll simplify that process. But what actually happened is they completely disengaged the user. And a lot of the user's questions were no longer being answered anywhere on the website. And so instead of going through this really detailed website redesign process for the second time in, you know, a 6 month period, we actually just redesigned their product page and we tested it against their existing product page. Mm-hmm. And we immediately saw a 15 to 20% uplift in conversion rate. And so instead of going and spending, let's say $200,000 to $300,000 to redesign their website again, they spent a fraction of that with us and managed to get the same outcome. And so that's what we mean by optimizing funnels, is that you sometimes, the problem might be small and it might be something that you haven't thought of, but engaging with consumers and actually tracking how they're behaving and speaking to them and just asking them the question mm-hmm. can be so powerful and can completely change your marketing performance in a way that other channels and other services cannot.
Yeah. What a great example. And one of the things that I also pull from this example is that it's not saying necessarily, of course, that, you know, the first agency that may have created the site didn't do a good job. It just means like that there was a second set of eyes that were needed. There was a different thought process, which is one of the things that I think is unique about Yogurt Digital. There's a different thought process when you're optimizing for conversions and thinking about what that looks like. And then the research component, it's not just, and I'm not against just having great looking sites, right? Like that's important. The branding side of things, which I know Yogurt Digital works on as well. The branding and to make everything aesthetically pleasing. Obviously, like that's a huge component of it. But if it doesn't convert and you see, you know, you see, unfortunately, maybe sales go down 20%, 15% or whatever it is. I mean, there's a problem, right?
Yeah. And interestingly, you know, it's not even the previous agency that was at fault. What we usually find when companies are redesigning platforms or even building new businesses mm-hmm. is they actually don't take the time to speak to the consumer. They try and cut corners. Mm-hmm. They want to reduce their costs. They want to accelerate timelines. And so they don't do the research component, the UX, qualitative and quantitative research. They don't spend the time on that. And so what ends up happening is you're basically rolling the dice that this new design is going to, that people are going to like it, because actually what you've done is you've built something that you like, but what you like doesn't make a difference. The only thing that makes a difference is what consumers like, because if you love something and they don't, you don't have a business. But if you build something that consumers love and you think looks okay, that's still great, because consumers will buy from you. They will use you. They will engage with you. And so I think the lesson that really came out of that for client, and generally I think for anyone who's listening, is cutting corners is never going to work. Mm-hmm. And research is just so important from when you're like conception and you're thinking about building the business and going out to market and actually testing the concept mm-hmm. before you go and start building this very lengthy, very expensive process. Like, you want to talk about failing fast and failing early. Just take a concept out to market before it's even built and just talk to people about it and see what mm-hmm. they think. And then once you actually start building it, take it out to market and see what people think. And then mm-hmm. once it's live, take it out to market and see what people think. Mm-hmm. And the companies that really grow are the ones that are constantly testing and iterating and mm-hmm. seeking market feedback. And they're the ones that grow the fastest. Mm.
Another concept that you brought out here that I don't want to assume everybody's aware of is the idea of A/B testing, or testing multiple pages. So you mentioned that for the product page, like that was an important part of the research. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, A/B testing is a really good way of building a business case before you take the time and effort to build something on a live site. Mm-hmm. So essentially the way it works, as I mentioned, like you do a whole research piece, you build a hypothesis. So in that case, it was, that better placed content and videos on a product page could potentially increase conversion rate because it engages the customer and tells them more about why the product is valuable. Mm-hmm. And so when we designed the new page, essentially the way it works is you can use a third-party testing software. There's a few really good platforms out there, like Optimizely is probably a market leader. Visual Website Optimizer is a market leader. Then you've got A/B Tasty, you've got Convert, and there's a series of kind of other platforms out there as well. But those are probably some of the most popular ones globally. And essentially the way the platform works is it splits the traffic on your website 50-50 between your current website and your new design. The end consumer, the people visiting your website, are none the wiser. They don't know that they're a part of a test. So you basically just have half the people going through one user funnel and half the people going through another user funnel. And then it basically collects all that data and it shows you which of the designs or which of the user journeys is more effective. which one is generating more revenue or more inquiries for you. And it also shows you whether or not the result is statistically significant, mm-hmm. which is really important, because if it's not statistically significant, then you probably don't want to implement it on your live side, because what it's basically telling you is, even though there's an uplift, it's actually too close to call. Mm-hmm. And it's not worth the time and effort to implement it on the live site. In a live environment, it may actually push things backwards. But you know, when you run a test and it's, you know, shows you that, you know, we've had tests where the uplift has been over 100%, 100, 120, 130%, you know that you're onto a winner.
Yeah.
But if you don't do A/B testing and you just go, you know what, I've done some research, I'm just going to implement it on the live site. Mm-hmm. Remember that, again, even with data, your interpretation of that data is not necessarily going to be 100% accurate. And that's where testing becomes important, because you want to make sure that you've interpreted what the customer is telling you the right way. Mm-hmm. And so you might need to run a test on a single page with multiple iterations before you land the one that is exactly the way that the customer wants it to be. Mm-hmm. And that's really what A/B testing is. It is the iterative process of testing new design concepts mm-hmm. until you land on one that a customer loves more than what you already have. And it's super important as a part of your marketing mix, because if your conversion rate increases, your business grows on across all channels. Mm-hmm. Your SEO improves, your paid campaigns improve, the work you're doing on radio and TV improves, because a rising tide lifts all boats. And if your conversion rate goes up, all of your channel performance improves. And so that's why conversion rate optimization and A/B testing is so important, and why it makes up such a big part of all of our strategies with clients.
So, Michael, I want to switch it up a bit. So I want to go further into Yogurt Digital. So, of course, we've talked about the company as a conversion optimization agency, working, obviously, of course, on website, digital marketing, but I want to go further. So tell us exactly what you do at Yogurt Digital.
Yeah, so I guess Yogurt is split into three core service lines that we offer. The first is biddable or paid media. So within that, you have Google ads, you've got Bing ads, and then you've got paid advertising across all the major social platforms like, Meta, Pinterest, TikTok, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. So basically anything that follows a pay-per-click model is our first service line. Our second service line is SEO or organic. So anything from technical SEO to link acquisition to content strategy and content production. And what that's designed to do is basically help you appear higher in the rankings in Google. And that's kind of our second business line. And then the third business line is UX. So UX design, UX research, conversion optimization, A/B testing, basically the process of optimizing websites through kind of iterative designs or through complete website redesigns. And so that's the third bit that we do. And the reason that we're structured that way is those three service lines essentially represent every part of the conversion funnel. Mm. So SEO and paid channels are very much at the top of the funnel. So awareness, research, consideration, mm-hmm. and then UX design and conversion optimization are very much at the bottom of the funnel, which kind of goes from consideration, conversion, and then the loyalty loop. So as an agency, it just means that we're able to service mm-hmm. our clients no matter what their challenges are and no matter what their needs are, we can actually help grow them. And I hate to use this like very overused word, but we really can grow them holistically. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where we differentiate ourselves in market.
What are the type of clients that you find get the best value or the most value out of working with you and your Yogurt Digital and your company? So meaning, is it one industry versus another? Is there a certain size of company? Is this only for enterprise, or is small business still a client? Like, give us a feel for the landscape there.
Yeah, it's actually not, it's not just enterprise clients at all. We work with clients of all shapes and sizes. Yep, sure, we've got some of the biggest brands in Australia, but then we also have, and we've got a whole bunch of global brands. And then we also have brands that you would have never have heard of because they're smaller businesses. For us, the most important thing is actually the attitude of the client. We're very collaborative by nature. And when businesses hire us, they are hiring us, or at least should be hiring us, because we believe that we know more than they do about the digital marketing space. We live and breathe it every day. They're hiring us because they need help. And generally speaking, there's nothing worse than hiring someone who's better at something than you, and then you tell them how to do their job. Usually doesn't work out that well. And so we want clients who are going to trust us, who are going to be really collaborative, and who are going to invest in us the same way that we're going to invest in them. There has to be a mutual respect and trust there for both of our crafts. And so those are the businesses that we tend to work best with, the ones that are really hungry for growth, the ones that are willing to try new things, the ones that are willing to invest time, resources, build their own teams internally to help support the work that we're doing. You know, we tend to work with clients for years, not months. That requires a mutual trust on both sides that we're going to do the right thing by each other to get the outcome that we want.
That's awesome. And so, Michael, if somebody is watching this and they want to learn more, I mean, what's the best way for people to connect with you and your team?
Yeah, so you can hop over to our website, yogurtdigital.com.au. Depending on where in the world you live, yogurt is spelled differently. So I'll just say that ours is spelled Y-O-G-H-U-R-T, digital.com.au. And you can read all about our services. We've got plenty of case studies about the type of work that we do. And by all means, get in touch. We'd absolutely love to hear from you.
Fantastic. And we'll put all that in the show notes so that our audience can obviously just click on it and head right on over. And so, Michael, I know you're a busy guy, a lot going on, helping your clients and otherwise. I just have to ask, what's next? What's next for you? What's next for Yogurt Digital?
What's next for Yogurt Digital is, I mean, just continuing to grow and hone our craft. I think the digital space is so dynamic. There's always new services, new tools, new platforms, new automations that are coming out that offer new opportunities to marketers. And we always want to be on the cutting edge of what we're doing. You know, we're also exploring international expansion. So there's lots of exciting things in the work at Yogurt that we're really pumped about. And then, you know, for me personally, you know, I spend a lot of time in my free time, again, like, you know, in advisory type roles for other businesses and startups. And, you know, I'm really passionate about that as well. So I'll definitely continue to do that. And yeah, I mean, that's really what's on the agenda for the next foreseeable future.
Fantastic. And to the audience, we'll put all the information again for Michael and the website and all that in the show notes. So again, you can just click on it and head right on over and check out Yogurt Digital. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time watching a Mission Matters program, just to let you know, we're a platform that's all about bringing on entrepreneurs and executives who are really passionate about what they do, who are mission-based and mission-focused. If that's the type of content that excites you and gets you going, then we definitely welcome and encourage you to hit that subscribe button, because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Michael, really, it has truly been a pleasure. Thanks again for coming on the show. And I learned a lot. I'm hoping my audience did as well. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Adam. I really appreciate it.